Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Some people during a bad economy, you know, they get a second job. And some people just try to figure out ways that they can expand their first job to make some more cash, right? So that is what this Florida man did. The Candyman busted for selling drugs out of a snack truck. He told police that he began selling fentanyl, cocaine, marijuana, and psilocybin mushrooms from his snack truck to offset the bad economy in St. Lucie County, Florida. It was Port St. Lucie. They arrested this guy called the Candyman after a sting revealed that he was selling drugs out of his mobile snack food truck. And so they found 10,000 fentanyl pills. It's $300,000 street value. All kinds of cocaine, THC wax, drug pill presses, guns, all kinds of stuff. So he was charged with 22 drug-related crimes, including trafficking in a number of different types of drugs, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, possession of drug equipment, all kinds of stuff. So he's, and use of a two-way communication device to facilitate a felony. So he got charged with a whole bunch of stuff out of a snack truck.
Bidenomics.
There you go. This let's see this one. This is a Florida man who beat up a driver and stole his truck 2 hours after bonding out of jail. Jeez. 37-year-old Florida man of Riviera Beach, Florida. He was arrested by Fort Morgan Police Department for trespassing at a hotel. He was booked in a Morgan County jail. He posted a $1,000 bond. And then literally 2 hours later, he stole this dude's truck, truck jacked him, I guess, assaulted the driver, took the keys, and the owner of the truck, though, as the perp was driving away, the owner jumped into the truck bed and called 911. And so then Morgan County Sheriff's deputies, they pursued the suspect at speeds reaching 108 miles per hour. That's kind of a terrifying thing to be in the back of a truck during a high-speed chase. And the pursuit finally ended when the guy rolled to a stop and was arrested. He faces six additional charges now. He's going to be in jail. He's got felony charges now. I cannot believe that guy jumped in. I'm trying to get over the fact that the guy jumped into the truck bed as this was happening. And that's kind of crazy. That's dangerous. Like, I mean, especially when they were doing those rolling, what is it? They throw the things out to spike the tires because they had to take his tires out. That's crazy. Let's see here. A Florida man stole a dredging boat, but it's called the Weeky Wachee dredging boat, to travel on the river. Grand theft of a dredging boat at Rogers Park. 35-year-old Florida man charged on Friday with theft of the boat, according to Hernando County Sheriff's Office. They said that Charles Fagerstrom, who had no address on paperwork filed with the court, they saw him Wednesday morning by workers. He was sitting on a bucket on the stolen boat, eating some tater chips, you know, just chilling, according to the arrest report. He had not gotten very far down the river. Patrol deputies responded. Workers maintained visual contact. They prevented him from bringing it back to the dock or shore. And if he tried to flee, he would have been required to jump in the water to do so. So they finally took him into custody, and they read him his rights and all this stuff. And he said that he wanted to use the vessel to travel on the river because he said it was going to be a nice day. Sweetie told police. So he's charged with grand theft of a vessel, possession of burglary tools, and he's in Hernando County Detention Center on a $7,000 bond. Yeah, so he didn't make it easy. He got a very slow vessel, and then he sat out on the deck of it and was eating potato chips, staring everybody down that was watching him steal this thing. As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at Dana4Hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free, and it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
I have seven grandkids, four of them, all five of them able to talk on the phone. You know, every day I either text them or call them.
Does he text or call Navy Joan? He actually said seventh grandkids. Okay, so welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. All right, so a number of observations here. So they finally, in a People magazine interview on a Friday in the summer, they dropped this finally. And then he ran away to go on vacation for 10 days. So they're kind of acknowledging this, sort of. They're acknowledging it. The seventh grandchild, Navy Joan. Yeah, the polls were bad. They were bad enough for. Can you imagine being somebody's grandkid and you grow up and you realize that the only time that your grandparents acknowledged you was when the polling forced them to? It's sad. You can't say that this isn't anyone's business. I reject that so bad. I'm so tired. Look, guys, don't sell yourself short here. And on the Republican side, too, do not sell yourself short. You are the bosses. We're the boss. So when you have a politician auditioning for a job, hell yes, their personal life factors into it. Why? Because ours does. You're talking about someone who has the ability to send your kids to war. Our personal lives matter in this. So theirs do, too. It's all fair game. These are the same people that want to control what your kids read in school, but oh my gosh, don't you dare talk about what they do with their kids. Oh, H-A-I-L, no. That's not how this works. And in addition, what was one of the things that he always campaigned on? Being this like family man, right? He always campaigned on being this family man. Oh, family. He sounds like Riddick. Family. It's about family. Chronicles of Riddick. He sounds like that. Sounds like Vin Diesel saying it over and over again. That's what he's campaigned on. He's campaigned on that. So you can't suddenly, you know, takesies, backsies. It's not how this works. You can't say, oh, no, no, no. I ran on family and I made a big deal about it. But now you can't talk about it because it's inconvenient for me. You can't talk about it. So now he admits he has seven grandkids because the polling was bad. Like, for 4 years, he's been saying that he has six. Now he's like, well, seven. And he's doing it because of public perception, not because he really feels like this kid's family. And they say love all of them the same. Just not enough to make sure that, you know, she's got, you know, a good education and she's going to be set for life. The whole reason this even became a story in the first place is because Hunter Biden fought tooth and nail to take any accountability for this little girl. Let's not forget how this started. This didn't start because Republicans found something out. I think that people would have been, and honestly, I wouldn't have found a lot to criticize about it if they said, you know what? Sometimes things happen and we got a seventh grandchild and we don't care how we got her. We love her all the same. Nobody would have batted an eye. And I tell you something, if that had been their line, and Republicans would have criticized it, there would have been other Republicans criticizing those Republicans for criticizing it. And you all know that's true. This is one of the dumbest errors I've ever seen in politics. If they came out and just said, yes, things happen, and we love this little girl all the same, and that's just, you know, the way it is, you know, it's kind of, you know, not the path we would have chosen, but we would have chosen to have a seventh. You know, I mean, if they would have just said it like that, boom. Done. But Hunter, I mean, you're talking about the stupidest family in politics. The only reason that the Bidens are successful this far is because other people cover their butts. And the only reason that other people cover for them is because they have to for the health of the Democrat Party at large. I have no idea how this guy's gotten as far as he has. I really honestly don't. I mean, does he network well with other Democrats? I mean, I got to ask, because he doesn't make good decisions, and his son doesn't either. So as I said, the whole reason that this became a big thing is because Hunter fought it tooth and nail in court. And this woman, and I got to give her credit, this London Roberts lady, she was not making this a big deal at first. This was a private thing, because you guys don't realize this had been going on for like 2 years before y'all found out about it. She was doing the right thing. She wouldn't, and then she wouldn't even making a big deal of it for the family. She was just trying to make sure that her daughter was taken care of. And that Hunter Biden, you know, if you're going to do the act, then you got to take responsibility for what may happen after. And he fought it. He didn't want to claim paternity. She had to force him to take a paternity test. Surprise, you're the dad, or not surprise. And then he fought over, he didn't want to pay child support. He didn't want to have anything to do with her. He didn't even want to go to court. They had to threaten it. How many times did they threaten him with jail if he didn't show up in court? I mean, I think every time. I think they had to threaten him with contempt of court and threaten to jail him every time to get him there. And then finally, literally just late last month, they got him to agree to actually give a little bit to her. She gets to pick one of his stupid paintings out that aren't worth anything. They're only worth something if you're laundering money through them. Meanwhile, his other kids live in the White House. They have these big weddings on the White House grounds. They went to the best private schools, the best Ivy League universities. And this little girl in Arkansas, she gets to pick one of dad's stupid paintings. And the mom wasn't asking for a ton of stuff either. She wasn't asking for millions of dollars. She was just saying, can you take care of your kid? The judge looks at this and he sees the way this child is being treated and cared for, and then compares that to the standard of living for the other kids, because that's what courts do when they evaluate these cases. And so that is what fueled the asking of more, because you got to have your equal treatment of kids here. And he was resentful, and he still sounds resentful. And and the idea that the Bidens went along with this, if I was Joe Biden and my kid was not acknowledging, I would have beaten his ass on the south lawn of the White House, and I would have invited every camera there to do it. I would have said, oh, we got a big announcement coming up. Then I would have brought my kid out there and whooped him on the lawn with a belt. Big, thick one. Like grandpa style, right? Insane. They could have, this didn't have to be a deal at all. This hurt him in the poll. It hurt him with their base. This is how dumb this is. It hurt him with his own base. It is so goofy that it had to go this far, but it's stupid Hunter. Like, he's threatening to sue people. All the media outlets that were showing like the photos that he left. You know, he was going after the laptop guy, the computer repair shop owner, except for the fact that he literally signed the contract that said, if I don't come and get this stupid thing after 6 months, then, you know, I forfeit ownership and the ownership goes to the computer repair shop. He signed it. And who leaves a laptop for six months? Is that guy a free storage unit? I don't think so. I mean, this is just a bunch of stupid errors that they're it's just maddening. Absolutely maddening. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time, and the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations, and this 12 gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12 gauge pump action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells, and with dual tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltechWeapons.com and follow Keltec on social media. Visit KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Paul Reubens, best known as Pee Wee Herman, and also best known to some people as a guy who got caught in a movie theater, you know, with some stuff, doing some things. He's passed away at age 70 after he had cancer. He had a private bout of cancer, according to Variety. He was 70 years old. He was in Big Top Pee Wee, Pee Wee's Big Adventure. He also played a character in Nightmare Before Christmas. He had the Pee Wee's Playhouse, the Pee Wee Herman Show. He was in Mystery Men. He was in all kinds of stuff. So he's 70. I didn't know he was 70 years old. Dang, 70 years old. It just doesn't seem like he was that old. Anyway, trucking giant Yellow. They've finally shut down. This is the 99-year-old company. They had 30,000 staff, 12,000 rigs. They've ceased operations immediately despite a $700 million coronavirus bailout. The Nashville-based company has struggled with debt and union woes. Each side blamed the other for the announcement that came yesterday for their immediate close. It's the biggest collapse in terms of revenue and jobs for the trucking industry. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. So they said it's they first reported the shutdown of this as well. Man, that is kind of, that's wild. It's 30,000 jobs. I wonder what that's. This California there. So apparently beavers have always been viewed as a nuisance, but now they're California. This is a headline. California aims to tap beavers, once viewed as a nuisance, to help with water issues and wildlife. This is Archer going phrasing. So they've changed. They're trying to have the animals basically help them and lure them into urban areas with enhanced groundwater supplies and a buffer against the threat of wildfires, because they want to preserve them along with their nature. Oh, they're just now figuring out that it's nature friendly. Yeah. You know, I always thought those people were such big, you know, they're environmentalists. That's why, not conservationists. So they don't know this stuff. There's the difference. A woman was suspected of huffing and caused a vehicle to explode. I don't even know how this happens, but that's what she did. Sturbridge Police Department crews were sent. It was near a Walmart. They found a vehicle that had all the glass blown out of it because she was huffing, and she had a cigarette by her.
Agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, depending a little bit on how you count it, but it's anywhere from 26 to 33. And we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. And you just can't continue to both warm the planet while also expecting to feed it. Doesn't work. So we have to reduce emissions from the food system to keep the 1.5 degrees alive.
You guys heard what I heard, right?
Yeah.
Man, you know where I feel like I've heard this before sometime, like I've read about this or something, like in history. Oh, that's right. Mao. With the Great Famine, that was entirely man-made. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of the second hour. That was John Kerry. In case you knew who his voice was, you knew John Kerry saying that we got to get rid of farmers and farms if we want to get to net zero. Net zero, yeah, net zero for carbon emissions. That's what he wants. Net zero for carbon. Can you? Okay, yeah.
Why does he hate plants and trees?
Food. Why does he hate food?
That too.
I mean, you heard, right? We all heard what he just said. He said that we need to produce less food. Produce less food. That's literally what he just said. And he said to stop the world from overheating, we got to start with farms, produce less food. So that means he wants to starve people. What are you going to do to make up for the food? Any ideas? Where do you get it from?
Laboratories.
That's why they all want us to eat bug meat. No thanks. You know what? Honestly, can I just say something to an aside, and I'm going to come back on topic. I can't hardly eat seafood anymore because of this. The moment they started talking about eating bugs, that's when I realized that old joke that. Yeah, most seafood, like your shrimp and your lobster, that's bug meat. I don't want to eat bug meat anymore. Why is that a delicacy? Just because it's not totally easy to get for everybody? Like, you can't just walk outside and get some? I don't know. Now I just don't want any of it. I can't hardly eat it. I cannot. I think I'm developing an actual aversion to it. Like, fish I can eat. But shellfish? Not that I'm not allergic or anything. I just cannot stomach it. I can't deal with it. Because of this. I think the patriot DNA that I have from being an American. And by the way, when you become a citizen of the country, there's a magical thing that happens. Like, your DNA changes. I don't know if you knew this or not. Like, it's something the founders didn't really totally want to put in our founding documents. But, and you, like, start getting rowdy. You start getting just a tad bit ungovernable. And then it grows, you know, as you mature over time, it grows. You know, your ungovernableness grows. Anyway, I can't hardly. Am I alone in thinking that? Is that weird, Kane? I just look at it. I'm like, bug meat. No, no thanks.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, that's not weird at all. I mean, that's the way it was back in the day, that it was the cheapest food out there.
Hmm.
And then somehow it just became more expensive and people thought, oh, maybe we should eat that.
Yeah. All I know is that whenever I'm in the Caribbean, like if we go to the Exumas or Bahamas, like all the fishermen, you know what they use to get like the biggest conch, C-O-N-C-H, like conch shells and that? Because that actually is tasty. The conch salad is one of my favorite foods. You know what they use? They use lobster as their bait. And I was joking with one of these fishermen. I'm like, my gosh, you use what people would pay $50 for in the United States. And he goes, and I swear to you, hands this guy. He goes, ha, it's bug meat. I just about died. It's like, yeah. But no, I look at it like that now after this whole thing. I'm like, I don't know. But he's talking about getting rid of food. This is, imagine that you're, well, don't. This guy flies private. He likes to lie about it and say that he doesn't, but he does. His family owns a jet. But you can't pay attention to him. This is for you, the little people. Think about how terrifying that is, what he just said. No, we have to burn more. We have to use our food. We have to get rid of our food so that we can get to net zero. So two things in there that are terrifying. Getting rid of the food, number one. And then number two, net zero. There's no possible way to get to net zero ever. Ever. By the way, my rental car, my EV, it's back. I got my car, or not my rental car, my loaner. I got my regular gas guzzler back. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was so wonderful driving to church and just hearing the blah, 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 blah. I miss that. It was amazing. I mean, it was, you know, first world problems. I had the EV for like a day. It was like nothing. But yeah, it is. I just cannot imagine what that would look like, a net zero carbon emissions world. It can't exist. That's an unlivable world. Think about everything that the things that you use that are actually made with that has carbon emission output. Net zero is not a realistic thing. John Kerry is a cradled generation. I mean, you want to talk about generational wealth? Why is it all Democrat? Didn't he come from the Forbes family? Isn't like one of his parents from the Forbes family? He's a generationally rich dude who married a woman whose late husband was the Heinz ketchup founder, or from the Heinz family. So he came from a rich family and married into a rich family. He has no idea. I mean, the people that bear the brunt of all of this, these vanity, compassionate vanity exercises that these people get involved in, it's all the middle class and struggling people. They're the ones who bear the brunt of this. Net zero. That's a terrifying thing. Yeah, and he said, 5 years we'll have the first ice-free Arctic summer? That's so stupid.
Back in 2009, he said that.
Yeah, he said that too, yeah. He's a moron. Why is he? He's the climate czar? But he was never
elected? No.
Well, not elected, but there was never any kind of hearing for him or confirmation for him, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that's weird.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.